Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It was the practice of Swarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if something impedes the execution of devotional service, it should be understood to be impure. Pure devotees of the Lord do not accept impure principles. Impure devotees accept rasabhas, or overlapping, contradictory mellows, and other principles opposed to the bhakti path. The followers of such impure principles are never accepted as pure devotees. There are many parties following the path of rasabhas, and the followers are sometimes adored by ordinary men. Those who adopt the conclusions of rasabhas and Bhaktisiddhanta Virudha are never accepted as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami never approved such followers as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nor did he allow them even to meet the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ata eva swarupa agi kari parikshana shudahoi jadi prabhuri karana shravana. It was the practice of Swarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitang Stang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Ratha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishvare Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in today's purport, Prabhupada uses the phrase Bhaktisiddhanta Virudha. And actually it comes from the previous verse, verse text 113. Bhaktisiddhanta Virudha. So when Ram Rupa Prabhu gave class, he quoted the pranam mantras for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Rupa Nuga Virudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harini. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has come and he is Harini, means he is taking away the darkness, Dvanta, the darkness of those philosophies which are opposed to the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Now if you notice, if you look at all the pranam mantras for our acharyas, you'll find Rupa Goswami is mentioned a lot. We're very much Rupa Nugas. Rupa Anuga means, Anuga means to follow Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami, he was actually empowered by Lord Chaitanya to understand the deep philosophy of this Bhakti not only the philosophy, but the taste. He's the rasa acharya. He can taste. Taste is ultimately what it's all about. And the two come together in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is a book by Rupa Goswami. He says, Svalpapi rupi ruchirevacha bhakti tattva vabodhikaha yuktistu kevala naiva yadasya apratishtata. That if we have a little taste, ruchi, then we can understand bhakti tattva. We have to have taste to understand bhakti tattva. To understand the philosophy, we have to have taste. Yuktistu kevala naiva yadasya apratishtata. Yukti, which means logic, is apratishtata. What does that mean? Apratishtata. It has no foundation. Yeah? Now, the idea is that we could be scholars, but if we do not have the devotional attitude, if we don't have that seed of devotion in our heart, if we don't cultivate it, then we will be philosophically unfit. We will be unfit to be heard. We will not carry the correct philosophy, if we do speak the philosophy, we'll do it like a parrot, won't have any realization. But actually, if you sincerely parrot what the acharyas say, this is how we get taste, you see. So, rasabhas and bhaktisiddhanta virodha, these are two sides of the same coin. There's a disease. The disease is lack of devotion. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And that lack of devotion manifests in two ways, as bhaktisiddhanta virodha, or false philosophy, and rasabhas, saying things which are contrary to the mellows of devotion. And this is a very high topic. You know, if we want to get to the platform of ruchi, adau shraddha. Shraddha means what? Faith. You know, sadhu sangha, associate with devotees, bhajana kriya, perform devotional activities. Develop nishta, fixed, then ruchi. Ruchi comes. We have to be fixed. If we want ruchi, do we really want it? Or do we want other ruchi? Material ruchi. Which one do we want? If we want spiritual ruchi, we have to put in the effort, which means do what we can in our control. Because ruchi is not something we have control over. But indirectly we do, because we can choose to follow sadhana bhakti. If we follow sadhana bhakti, these rules will keep our consciousness free from mundane topics. From that, our hearts will be the nice place that the seed of bhakti can sprout. And it will ultimately sprout to the point we have ruchi. And from there, it's downhill onwards. Because once we have ruchi, devotional service is very, very easy. Very easy. It's only difficult when we have a war going on inside our minds. Material life, spiritual life, material life, spiritual life, when we oscillate from one to the other. So in order to properly understand bhav meaning the moods, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you have to have the correct philosophy. If you have the correct philosophy, then you will have proper bhav. And on the other side of the coin, you can't have the correct philosophy unless you have that ruchi. So the two go side by side. You can't have one without the other. So let's talk about rasabhas. So rasabhas, literally, what is it? What does abhas mean? What's the literal meaning of abhas? Shadow, yes. And rasa means taste. So it means something that looks like taste but actually isn't. So if you're not pure, and Prabhupada says this in the purport, you have to be pure to actually understand this. If you're not pure, then you might be fooled into liking rasabhas, thinking it's a good thing. So Prabhupada would say, there was one Babaji, he had this mantra, Nitai Gora Radisham, Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And he said, this is rasabhas. Why is that? I think it's because the Gora Nitai is one ras, and then Radha Krishna is another. It's something like that. Anyway, I don't understand rasabhas, but I can give you a few examples that our acharyas give. And actually, there's a nice example in Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. There was one intimate associate of Advaita Acharya, Kalakanta Vishvasa. And he wrote a letter to King Prataparudra. And in that letter, he was explaining how Advaita Acharya is the supreme personality of Godhead. And he said, therefore, you should. He has a debt. Advaita Acharya owes 300 rupees. And he requested King Pratibharudra to liquidate this debt. Now, this letter was supposed to reach King Pratibharudra, but somehow or other, it got in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he saw this letter, he was very morose. He said, he was very unpalatable. He said, this is Rasa Abbas. On the one hand, he's saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is very good. But then he's saying he's got a debt. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead have a debt? This is Rasa Abbas. You're treating him like an ordinary person. Prabhupada, when he comments on this, he says it's like the phrase Daridra Narayan. You have this Daridra Narayan. This is the philosophy that is a Mayavad philosophy that everyone is Narayan. In fact, the sannyasis, Mayavad sannyasis, when they greet each other, what do they say? Om Namo Narayanaya. They offer respects to each other as Narayan. Now, when Mahaprabhu was on the planet, what did he say? What was his reply? Krishna Matirastu. May you be Krishna conscious, you see. So to say Daridra means poor. Daridra means poor. Poor Narayan, then this is a contradiction because Narayan is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So there's no question of Narayan ever being poor. So the truth, the real Siddhanta is Narayan is within the heart, but the poor person is the jiva. And the jiva may be suffering poverty, but Narayan is never Daridra. Right? That's the philosophy. So this is an example in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Rasa Abbas. Now I'm going to read a little bit about Rasa Abbas. And this is from Jiva Dharma. Because it's a very deep topic, and I don't understand it, but it's nice to delve into it. Nectar of Devotion describes, the last three chapters of Nectar of Devotion, they describe Rasa Abbas. And they go through the various rasas, which ones are compatible, which other ones, which ones are contradictory. And then there's ways in which apparent Rasa Abbas isn't Rasa Abbas. And the reasons are given here, but I'll read it from Jiva Dharma because it's the same topic, but it's succinctly described in Jiva Dharma. So this is a little bit technical, but it's nice to read these things because then we get an interest. When we start to delve into topics, then we become interested and then we start to absorb ourselves in them, and then when we absorb ourselves, we become purified. So here's in Jiva Dharma. The mixing of two contrary rasas does not produce virasata, a conflict in taste, in the following situations. I'll just pause there. So virasata is like rasabas. Rasa means taste, virasa means unpalatable. And virasata is like the abstract noun. It's unpalatableness. So here are the reasons, the following situations where something is not unpalatable, even though the conflicting rasas are there. When one logically describes the preeminence of one contrary rasa of the two that have mingled, and thereby reveals the inferiority of the other rasa. Second reason. Or when one describes an incompatible rasa in recollection. Third, or when one dispassionately describes a particular similarity between the incompatible rasas. Next one. Or when a tatashta rasa, neutral rasa, or a preya rasa, friendly mellow, intervenes between the incompatible rasas. So we should think of, when we talk about rasa, there's five primary, and then there's seven secondary rasas. And in their interactions, some are friendly, some are neutral, the word tatashta was used here, and some are conflicting. So Rasa Abbas is talking about the conflicting. So in this example, it said that there may be a conflicting rasa, but in between there's a neutral or a favorable rasa, so it kind of allows the flow to go nicely without the unpalatableness. Next one. Or when there is a divisive conflict between the Vishaya, the object of love, and the Ashraya, resting place of love. At the time of mixing of incompatible Gauna Rasa and Mukhya Rasa. So the word Gauna means secondary. These are the seven secondary rasas. Like, can anyone give some examples of some secondary rasas? Chivalry, yes. Sorry, didn't get your accent from it now. Chivalry, humor, that's yep, chivalry, laughter. Horror, yes, ghastliness. Compassion, yes, thank you. We got most, anger is another one. And what are the mukhya ones? I think we all know them. The Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, yes. So I'll continue this little one extra paragraph here. Another interesting feature is when a single devotee manifests Dasya and Vatsalya at different times, as in devotees such as Maharaj Yudhisthira. Thus, two mutually incompatible rasas generally never manifest together at the same time. However, in the stage of Adhiruddha Mahabhav, that means extreme ecstasy, the highest state of spiritual love, even if there is an arising confluence of all the opposing rasas, still rasabhas is not generated. So it seems that there's a type of intensity of love which is so intense that nothing can really spoil it. So even though there appears to be a rasabhas, it's like, who cares? The ecstasy is so wonderful, it's just so intense that you don't even care about it like that. So that's something that we can explore as we go through our spiritual life. But until we reach the point of having this rasa, then that's we can only theoretically understand it. But let's talk about Swarup Damodar, because this is the topic of this section of the chapter 10 of Majjhalila. So yesterday, one of the verses read out, we went through a series of verses, but here's one that stands out. It's a beautiful verse. Krishna Rasa Tattva Veta Deha Prema Rupa Sakshad Mahaprabhura Dvitiya Swarupa. Translation, Sri Swarup Damodar was the personification of ecstatic love. Fully cognizant of transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna, he directly represented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his second expansion. So it's like, sometimes it's said that, Dui Bai Ekatanu, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Dui Bai, two brothers, Ekatanu, one body. They're two, but they're one. Or sometimes we see Radha and Krishna are two and one at the same time. Here we're seeing that Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar are one, like they're like peas in a pod, so to speak, or like brothers. Dvitiya Swarupa. Dvitiya Swarupa means the second representation or the second expansion. So that shows you how intimate the relationship is between Swarup Damodar and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's said that in the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the masses, what was his strategy for preaching? Kirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. To the Vedantists, what was his strategy? Discussion of Vedanta Sutra, the devotional interpretation. And what was his relationship with his intimate associates? It was churning the rasa. So who did he churn the rasa with? Swarup Damodar in particular, and Ramananda Roy, and others. But this shows the special relationship that Swarup Damodar has with Lord Chaitanya. So it's explained in the purport that one of his roles was to screen Lord Chaitanya, or screen the masses from Lord Chaitanya, so that he only ever heard things that were pure. So anything that was rasabhas, or anything that was Bhakti Siddhanta Virodha, that was never heard by Lord Chaitanya, generally. Sometimes the devotees would say, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And what did he do? He covered his ears, because his mood was, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Although he is Krishna Swarupa, means although he is Krishna, his Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam, he's coming in the mood and the luster of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, don't disturb the mood of Radharani. So, in connection with Rasa Bas, Prabhupada also says that the Gauranga Nagaris, one of the upper sampradayas, they have the defect of Rasa Bas because they dress up as gopis and try and enjoy with Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna. So they're thinking because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, well, they get a gold star for that. They know that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. We have to give them credit where credit's due, right? Na Chaitanyad Krishnaj Jagati Paratattvam Param Miha. This is from the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, these key verses from the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita are composed by Swarup Damodar Goswami. It's from his diary that we have much of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the Gauranga Nagaris, they are another example of a upper sampradaya, and their rasa bases, they are trying to enjoy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mood as Krishna. But he doesn't want to be in that mood as Krishna. He's there in the mood of the gopis, and therefore they are causing a disturbance. See, that's another example of rasa bas. So there's an interesting story, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago when I gave class. It's a story of the Bengali poet. This is an Anchalila. So there was a Bengali poet, very, very erudite, and he wrote lovely poetry, apparently lovely poetry, and the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really appreciated him, and they suggested to Swarup Damodar, who, as we know, as I just mentioned, is the guardian. He doesn't let anything slip through that might disturb Mahaprabhu. So they went to Swarup Damodar and said, you know, please, can you introduce this poet to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's written some poetry about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Swarup Damodar dismissed it. He said, I'm not interested. But the associates, they persisted. They kept asking him. Finally, he said, okay, bring this poet. He brought the poet, and the poet recited his first verse. And in that verse, he describes how Lord Chaitanya is the life force who has entered into Jagannath, the wooden form, giving it life. And when Swarup Damodar heard this, he was disgusted. He said, you have committed an offense. You have made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you've turned him into a jiva. So what is the situation? What's the difference? Jiva and the Lord. What's the difference between the jiva and the Lord in relation to body and life force? Anyone know? The Lord's body is different in one particular way. Deho dehi vibhagoyam neshvari vijate kvachit. It says in the Puranas, there is no difference between the Lord and his body. Now we're in a different category. Yaya samoita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartam tatkritam chapipadyate. First canto it says, this material body is maya. It is simply the illusory energy. But due to illusion, we think this is me. Paropi, man, we are, para means we are transcendental. We are actually transcendental, but due to illusion, yaya samohita, due to that illusion, we think in this body's mine. So if someone hits us, we think I've been hit. Like when someone has their car hit, they're so absorbed, they're so identified with a car, they feel like they've been hurt. And some people, they will even die. Some people will have a heart attack if they lose one of their possessions. It's so precious to them because they identify so much with something. So this poet, it looked like it was nice, and some of the associates of Mahaprabhu thought this is a very nice poetry. But he, Swarup Damodar, cut it down and said, no, this is wrong. And then he gave some advice. He gave some advice to this poet. What did he advise him to do? Famous verse, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavara Stani Ekanta Shrai Koro Chaitanya Charani. You go and hear the Bhagavatam from a Vaishnav. This is the point. This poet, he was a philosopher, but he'd not heard from a Vaishnav. Therefore, he misunderstood the philosophy. So in his mercy, Swarup Damodar gave this advice. He said, you go and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnav. So there's a lovely verse in the third canto, chapter 25, text 25. Do you know this verse? Say the verse. Satam prasangam mamavir yasam vado bhavanti ritkarna rasai nakata tajoshina shashva bhavargavartmani shradarati bhaktir anukramishyate. When you hear from the devotee, you hear the sound vibration coming from the lips of the devotee, they are mama virya, virya samvido, full of power. Prabhupada comments on this. He says, when the boy is viravan, vijavan, he has potency, then when there's contact between boy and the girl becomes pregnant. In the same way, when you hear from someone who has spiritual potency, you hear the Krishna Katha, then the effect will be you'll become Krishna conscious. And if you hear from a non-devotee, that is like hearing from the lips, of the serpent, or taking milk that's been touched by the serpent. You see, it's poisonous effects. See? So that is the key to entrance into deep devotional service. It is our relationship with the devotees and hearing from pure devotees whom we should seek out. Sajatiya saye snigdi sadhu sangau svatovari. One of the five most important limbs of devotional service is to associate with like-minded devotees, svatvara, who are even higher than we are, so that we can therefore benefit from them. And if we're going to be given that opportunity, it comes through the mercy of Krishna. How do we get that opportunity? We have to serve to the best of our capacity. Krishna will see our sincerity and he will give us that association. So if you're thinking, I don't have that association, then you should give your association to juniors, and then therefore you're not miserly. You're burija, burida janaha. You know, in the 10th canto it said, the burida janaha, tava katam ritam tapchadivanam, kavibiriditam kalmasapaham, shravana mangalam srimadatatam buvigrantiye burida janaha. This wonderful Krishna katha will soothe the burning fire of material life, and those who are burida, very magnanimous, they will give. So if we all become givers, then we'll become receivers. And if we're not receiving, we can't blame others. We can't say, oh, I don't have that advanced association. And we can't blame others because it's always there if we are eligible. And sometimes it comes through sources we may not expect. Sometimes it comes through even through non-devotees. Sometimes non-devotees can speak to us. Here's an example. One time Prabhupada, he was distributing his Back to Godhead magazines. And one person said to him, you should make a book, not a magazine. A magazine, people throw away magazines. People keep books. And Prabhupada, he took this as Krishna speaking through this person. And then he thought, yes, I will make books. I have my own personal desire. I don't know if it will ever happen. We have a lovely, lovely book. It's called On Chanting. It's actually a booklet. We mass distribute them. We've been doing it for years. There's a wonderful devotee in the States and he sponsors this. He wants to sponsor something like 10 million. I think his goal is 10 million. He's already sponsored so many. He has them shipped to Africa, to London. Parashuram has pallets of them in his warehouse. And this is a wonderful, it's very beautifully written. It's all Prabhupada's words. It describes the chanting, what it is, what is the Hare Krishna movement. It's just done very, very nicely. A lot of work's gone into it. Beautiful pictures as well. And it's got the Maha Mantra very clear. So that when we're chanting on the streets, someone, you know, Saturday night, Harinam, heard it was a wonderful Harinam yesterday. I feel really bad. I never went. But it apparently kicked off as usual. This, having this On Chanting booklet is really useful because on the back, you've got the Maha Mantra written. So you can just hand someone the back of the book and then they can chant with us and then they can begin their devotional life. So my hope is one day we can put that in a little book form. Then people can have it in their houses as well, because as a flimsy booklet, it's easily going to get damaged and then people just throw it out, you know. But anyway, I'm hoping. I asked this devotee that sponsors them, and he wasn't committing to it, but I just hope that one day we can do that, because it's such a lovely literature. Anyway, I will maybe speak for 10 more minutes, then we can take comments and questions. I'm going to say a little bit more about Rasa Abbas. This is also from the Nectar of Devotion. There's described 3 degrees of Rasa Abbas. There's another few technical terms. The first one is called Uparas. The second one is called Anuras. And the third one is called Aparas. So they're considered degrees of Rasa Abbas. So Upa, it's a prefix. What does the prefix Upa mean? Huh?
Forward?
Former? Maybe. I'm not such an expert on Sanskrit. I'm thinking of another word. Okay, think of the word Indra. Indra means king. What does Upendra mean? Upendra. It means small, right? Dwarf. The dwarf incarnation is called Upendra, which means little. So Upa means little. So Uparas means a subrasa. It's an inferior one. It just kind of comes up a little bit, and it can be unpalatable if it spoils the main rasa. So uparasa means a subrasa. So sometimes the subrasa is contradictory to the or opposed to the main rasa. Actually, there's an example given. The Yajnika Brahmana wives, remember that the Yajnika Brahmanas, they were very proud, you know. When the friends of Krishna and Balaram, they come to beg for alms, they ignored them. So later on, they realized how foolish we are. We're performing this yajna ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, they were doing it for material reasons. But this is for the pleasure of Krishna. And then when Krishna's friends come, we don't even offer them anything. This is contradiction, yeah? Dikarmanas trividyatat. That they condemned themselves. Thrice born, to hell with our thrice born status. So they said, dig. Dig karmanas trividyatat, dig vratam, dig bahugyatam, to hell with our vows, to hell with our knowledge, dig kriyam, dig kulam, dig kriya daksham, to hell with our good birth, and to hell with, I'm not swearing by the way, dig means to hell with, it's in the Bhagavatam. Dig kriya daksham, to hell with our expertise. Why? Vamukha ye vadhokshaji. We've turned our back on Adhokshaja, who is Krishna. The whole purpose of the whole Vedic, all the books, all the yajnas, all the sacrifices, all the mantras, everything is ultimately to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. And we had the chance to give in charity to Krishna through his friends, and we forgot. Or we were ignorant. We were in an illusion. See, so they condemned themselves. Wonderful pastime in the 10th canto. Of course, then the cowherds go then to beg from the wives of the brahmanas, and they very eagerly gave. But in this connection, this is called actually anuras, or a subrasa. And the reason being, the Yajnika Brahmana wives, they actually had some kind of conjugal attraction for Krishna, like the gopis. But then by feeding Krishna, giving food to them, this was like vatsalya, you know, parental affection. So that's considered a little rasa bas there. Just that's how our acharyas describe it. Now the next degree of rasa bas is anuras. So what does anu mean? In other words, it's all in the following, exactly. Following. So imitation is how Prabhupada describes it. If you copy something. And an interesting example is Narad Muni's in Vrindavan, and he hears some parrots, and the parrots are parroting, they're just repeating what some sages had been saying. This is an example of anuras, because the parrots, they're just parrots, they're not philosophers, but they're just repeating imitation. So Narad Muni's like, he's kind of stunned and he's listening to this guitar, but it's actually anuras, it's imitation, so it's a rasa abbas. And the third one is aparasa, which means opposing. So what other words do we know, apa? Other words have to begin with upper. Aparad, which means opposed to. Radha, which opposed to worship, and other words with upa, upper sampradaya, which means opposed to the conclusions of the sampradaya, like this, or out with the sampradaya. So the word upa means opposed. So that's opposing, and that's the third degree of rasa abhas. So one day, maybe some of you are on that platform, I'm certainly not, one day we will have the softness of heart that we can actually distinguish between rasa and rasa abhas. Now, we have the examples of our acharyas, they give examples, but if they didn't give these examples, would we know? Would we even be aware of that? Would we know that Nitai Gora, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram was not a good mantra? It sounds really catchy, isn't it? It rolls off the tongue, it's so clever. You got Nitai Gora and Radhe Shyam, everything's there, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, it looks so wonderful. But would we know? We have to have acharyas. The acharyas are pure-hearted, and we serve them. Shushrusho Shradadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shan Mahatseva Pripa Punya Tirta Nashevanat. The key to getting this taste is to do service to the Tirtas, which means the devotees, who are Punya, pure. When we serve pure-hearted people, they bestow their mercy upon us, you see. And how do we get back to you? People always ask, how do we get back to you? You see, we're on the street and we're distributing so many books or we're stopping so many people, no one becomes a devotee. Then occasionally, someone just comes through the door and sees the deities, and before you know it, they're on the Be a Monk Challenge course. And then you see them and then they've shaved up and they're taking initiation. And we're like, why did it happen to that person and not the other hundreds of people we stopped, the hundreds of people we sold books to? Why? What is the answer? What is the answer? It's not mechanistic. You know, there's... Ever know Sadaputta? He obviously left his body maybe 10 years ago. Scientist. He knew quantum mechanics really well. He wrote a book called Mechanistic and Non-Mechanistic Science. And the answer is because it's non-mechanistic science, which means you can try however hard you like, but it's only when Bhakti Devi enters someone's heart that they actually become a devotee. And when someone has faith, if you see someone with faith in Krishna, then you must at least mentally honor them. If they have taken initiation, then you should offer your pranams to them, and you should serve them if they're free from the propensity to criticize others. There's the three grades. If someone is just chanting, you should honor them in your mind. This is the nectar of instruction. Someone is chanting, they're a devotee, honor them in your mind. If they take an initiation, offer your obeisances, and you do service to them if they are pure of heart, if they're devoid of the propensity to criticize others, you see. So the question is, how does someone become a devotee? Well, there's a verse in the 11th canto that explains this. Bhakcha sanjataya bhakcha. Very simple. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. So, and here's the amazing part. It doesn't matter, it does not matter if you're not pure. I mentioned a verse from the third canto, Satambra Sangam Mamavir Yasam Vado, how if you hear from someone with potency, then you will be affected, the audience will be affected. However, we can be postmen of Srila Prabhupada, and we can go out in the streets. Not only can we chant, you know, here's a question. What's the point of chanting Hare Krishna if we're not pure? Some people say, why are you chanting on the streets? You're not pure enough. Your chanting has no potency. But we're following the order of the Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's got the potency. He can act through the Harinam party. Just like Srila Prabhupada's books can act through the neophyte devotee who may not have the potency to change someone's heart themselves. They can give the book. As Deepak Prabhu said, what use is your talk? Just let Prabhupada do the speaking. So the book distributor doesn't need to be a pure devotee to affect people. The book distributor can just give the book, touch the book, see the picture, purchase the book, read a page, read a paragraph. They are coming in touch with the Mahabhagavat, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And that process is how Krishna consciousness can spread even if we may not be so powerful ourselves. Now, Narada Muni is a perfect example of empowerment. Who did he convert? The lowest of person, who did he convert in particular? Mrigari the hunter. Now, who can go? Let's remember who this Mrigari is. He wasn't happy to kill just for livelihood. He would half kill and watch the animals suffer. That's how cruel he was. You go to someone like that, how can you convert someone like that? The point is, Narada Muni had that power. He did. He said to them, don't half kill them, just kill them properly. You know, it's a step in the right direction. And he followed, by following Narada Muni's instructions, he actually became pure. Then he came with Parvati Muni to meet this hunter, and hunter was careful not to step on an ant. See how his compassion had awakened just by the potency of Narada Muni, you see? So we should be very eager to have the association of these people. But as I mentioned, to get this association, we need to be givers. We need to be following the instructions. We need to do what we know is right. And we follow our devotional service in that way, then we can become recipients of great mercy. And Vishwambar Prabhu often says something, because he was brought up as a Catholic. He says something from the Bible. First learn to love what you see, right? Is that in the Bible? Okay, first learn to love what you see. In other words, some people, you may have met these people, and it's not a nice mood. They sort of say to you, you know, what's the use? Why are you listening to? Why are you going to class? Why are you hearing from these people? They're not pure. You have to hear from the lips of the pure devotee, not pure enough. However, purity can come through the people around us, because Krishna is within everyone's heart. So we get instructions from the persons around us. And there may be people who are more pure than we know. I remember one story. There was a Sangha. I don't know actually where the story originates from, but it's a really nice story. And I'll finish on this story. There was a Sangha, and there was a lot of infighting. So one devotee gave advice. He said, I've got important news for you. Amongst your group, there is a pure devotee. So if you fight amongst yourself, you might commit an aparad to this pure devotee. So suddenly, everyone was very careful, and they started interacting very nicely with each other. And before you know it, they were all in ecstasy. The whole mood of the Sangha changed. So we shouldn't be looking down. It's a materialism. It's a type of materialism, looking down. They're only this, you're only that, only this. You need someone high, 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 and you're low. And it's not a nice mood. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience. I've left some time because 9 o'clock is prasadam. So thank you for tolerating me. And we have comments and questions. Ananta Prabhu, do you have the mic?
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure they know this, but you are an amazing speaker.
Oh, no.
I mean, so many complex things you explained with so much ease. So yeah, just one thing that in some temples, for example in Vrindavan, they are deities Krishna, Balaram, Gonitai, Radhasham, Sundar, Lalita, Vishakha. So I've seen sometimes devotees singing Jai Gauranitai, Krishna, Balaram, Radhe, Lalita, Vishakha, Jai Radhe, Sham, something like that. So will this fall in the category of...
Okay, it's an interesting question. Going back to this Nitai Gaura Radhe Sham, Hare Krishna Hare Ram, Prabhupada, he could see that devotees were interested. So he said, don't chant that, I'll give you another mantra. And it was Nitai Gaura Radhe Sham, Jaya Krishna Balaram. So it's the Vrindavan deities, there's Nitai Gaura, Radhe Sham and Krishna Balaram. So he put them all together in this and said, that is okay. So what I learned from that is, it's not just about the conjunction of the terms. They may or may not be rasa bas. There's something deeper to it that I don't understand. So in answer to your question, if we take something that's given by Prabhupada, or it's in pursuance of Prabhupada's mood, then we can be sure it's okay. But I can't explain why it is that one mantra is rasa bas and the other one's not, because they look very similar. The only difference is Hare Krishna Hare Ram has been changed to Jaya Krishna Balaram. So, I mean, as Ayendra Prabhu would point out, when we chant the Maha Mantra, we can be chanting Krishna Balaram, because it can mean that, you know, the Hare Krishna Hare. It means one in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it said that you can chant the Maha Mantra thinking of Gauranitai. So it's like, as Ayendra would call it, he would say, how would he go? Let me think again how it goes. Was it? I forget how it was, but it was Janava Nitai, Janava Nitai, Janava Janava. But what was the first part? It was probably. Anyway, I can't remember exactly. He was connecting it. Goranga and Goranga's wife, Nitai, Nitai's wife, and the Maha Mantra could be considered that way. That's how Andhra Prabhu was conceptualizing it, based on what was written in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that if you chant the Maha Mantra, it can mean Gaur Nitai. So I think this mantra, I would suggest it's okay. I'm not actually sure. But then I'm going to say something controversial, though. One time in Mumbai, the devotees were singing, I think they were singing actually Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman or something like that, and Prabhupada stopped it and said, you don't need to sing that. So what does it mean? I don't know. Or maybe it was Raghupati Raghava Rajaram and for the deities. Prabhupada said that even we have Ram deities, just by chanting the Maha Mantra, everything's in the Maha Mantra. That's the point he was making. I can get you this quote if you like to see it. Anyway, I hopefully said something there. Prabhuji. It was Gadai Goranga, Gadai Goranga, Goranga Goranga, Gadai Gada, Janava Nitai, Janava Nitai, Nitai Nitai, Janava Janava. Take it or leave it, it's coming from Ayendra Prabhu. If he's not your authority, leave it. Carol.
Yes, thank you, Govinda Prabhu. It's a good class. I was wondering, could you help me understand this? This because Lord Chaitanya and of course you're also talking about Advaita Acharya, they had this mood of, you know, not accepting this rasabhas, mm-hmm. and, you know, being opposed to it, and also, you know, yeah, we're trying not to have that. But in the same time, in Krishna Leela, there you were describing, there is also rasabhas, like with the cowherd boys looking for food for Krishna. And I'm also thinking about this pastime of where Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan, and there was this conflict of rasas. So, how do I understand this?
Okay, why would Uddhava going to Vrindavan mean a conflict of rasa? I mean, he's a Dwarkavasi, right? I don't think that's rasabhas at all, because even like Srivas Thakur, he's Narad Muni, so he's in Aishwarya Bhav. He's one of the Panchatattva, joined the Radha Bhav, Jyoti Savalitam. He's serving Lord Chaitanya. So I don't think that's necessarily a rasabhas. It's all about what's happening. There's things happen at different times. Even like Shantaras, there's one type of Shantaras in Vrindavan where the devotee is a mirror to whoever he's with. So someone's in Shantaras means that when they're with the gopis, they're experiencing conjugal rasa. When they're with the cowherd boys, they're experiencing sakya rasa. So you can experience a rasa at different times, but it's only when it's conflicting at the same time. Regarding the yogika wives of the brahmanas, see, I don't know the details of that particular, why it's a rasa bas. It might be, there might be an intervening rasa. So it's maybe from their perspective, it wasn't rasabhas because there was an intervening rasa. Remember, I gave 6 examples of or where rasabhas isn't unpalatable. Or maybe it was rasabhas, but they were, you know, they hadn't reached prema or something like that. They were sadhana siddhas or something. I don't know the exact details of that. But talking about the rasa, Advaita Acharya, his mood is Chaitanyara Dasamoy, Chaitanyara Das, Chaitanyara Dasimoy, Tanra Dasara Das. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of his servants. So Advaita Acharya, his rasabhas was that Lord Chaitanya was treating him as a superior. But Advaita Acharya is thinking, because Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, and Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined. So the natural relationship is Advaita Acharya is a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted that relationship. And he found a way to do it. Do you know what he did? It goes back to, I mentioned Kamala Kanta Vishwas. He was chastised. No, I didn't finish the story. Lord Chaitanya was like, this is Rasa Bas, because you're making Advaita Acharya, you're saying he's the Supreme Person of the Godhead, and at the same time, you're saying he's got a debt. And then Advaita, and then Kamala Kanta, Lord Chaitanya banned him. He said, I don't want to see him again. And Kamala Kanta Vishwas was very morose. But Advaita Acharya said, you're fortunate. You've been chastised. And he said, I wanted this so much. Lord Chaitanya, he was treating me as senior, so I wanted to treat him as the master. I wanted him to accept me as servant, and he wouldn't. So I had to go to great lengths to bring that out. And what did he do? He was teaching Yoga Vashishta according to Mayavad philosophy, and he was saying Gyan is higher than Bhakti. And what did Mahaprabhu do? He got so angry, he came and he pulled him off his seat and started beating him. And Advaita Acharya's wife said, stop, stop, he's an old man, you're going to kill him. But then Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy, because finally Mahaprabhu had presented himself as the master, and Advaita Acharya was now being punished and chastised, you see. So even there, even Advaita Acharya had to suffer this little thing. So it's not always what we think it is, and it's a deep topic, and I can't give you a proper answer, but there's always something going on behind the scenes. Prayojana Prabhuji. We should actually be very gratitude to the devotees that have assembled the digital boards. We now have greater opportunity to do bhajans. Quite often on Monday mornings we do bhajans. I won't be there, but there's bhajans tomorrow. It'll either be here or in the upstairs. But we have great facility now that we have these digital boards. Prayojana Prabhu. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because of his attachment through the media, you know, he's writing.
Mm-hmm.
He was writing, not that one.
Yes.
Is that one?
Okay, here's what I think about that. There is a mention in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha that to remove obstacles, we worship Ganesh. So there's three paths. I once asked this question to Jai Pataka Maharaj. I said to him, it says in the Pancharatrika Vidhi that to remove obstacles, we worship Kartikeya. And in the Bhagavat Marv, we worship Lord Nrsingadev to remove obstacles. Bhakti Vignanash Nrsingadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. So I asked him, why is it saying worship Ganesh? Because Ganesh is demigods. And his answer was, well, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's a compilation of statements from various scriptures. So some scriptures are particularly for those on the Vedic Marg. The Vedic Marg, you would worship Ganesh to remove obstacles. If you're on the Pancharatrika Marg, you worship Kartikeya. And if you're on the Bhagavat Marg, you'd worship Lord Nrsingadev to remove obstacles. So I don't think it's Rasa Bas. It's just that it's confusing, because we're told not to worship demigods, and then we're told, well, worship Ganesh to remove obstacles. Well, I thought we weren't supposed to worship demigods. But we do. Of course, Prabhupada says you can worship demigods as long as you understand you're doing it as, you're seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna, and as devotees of Krishna, you can worship him in that way. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. We can worship Lord Shiva as the Vaishnav. But if we want to please him, we should do Hare Krishna Kirtan, not do Shiva Kirtan. Prabhupada says there's no such thing as Shiva Kirtan. It's not in the scriptures. And I'm throwing that out because it's becoming quite popular, unfortunately, in ISKCON, that some of the kirtans are becoming Shiva kirtans. And it's not actually what Prabhupada told us to do, and he said we shouldn't do it, actually. If you want to please Lord Shiva, then chant Hare Krishna, because he likes that. Anyway.
Jai Nitai, and to those persons.
comes looking for him. Wonderful. The power of Gauranitai, you know, Gauranga Baliti Hobby. We just say Gauranga, Pulaka Sharira, and our hairs will stand on end. Hari Hari Baliti. We just say Hari Hari, and then tears will flow from our eyes. So it's amazing that we chant. It's not our sadhana, but, you know, if you look at the Kirtan Standards book, Gauranitai is bona fide. You chant Gauranitai and Kirtan is bona fide. Or Jai Shachinandana is bona fide. And if we chant these names, then the hairs on our body will stand on end. Jai. It's the power of the names of the Panchatattva. That's why we always chant the Panchatattva mantra before we chant Hare Krishna. There's extra potency, removes offences, get the mercy of the Panchatattva. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.